Welcome to the Procurement Software Podcast, where we aim to educate and inspire you about how technology is changing and shaping our profession. The truth is, there's never been a more exciting time to be in procurement, but only if you're one of those organizations that's embracing the change and driving new developments. And this podcast is all about giving you the tools to help you get there. So buckle up and let's get right into this week's show. Hey there, ProcureTech fanboys and fangirls. Welcome back to another episode of the Procurement Software Podcast. This week, we're going to be looking at why reviews and best of lists are not really very helpful. And I know this is a bit of a controversial topic, and constantly we get asked, hey, why don't you publish reviews on your website? And I'm going to talk a little bit about the reasons behind this in today's episode. So one of the things that you need to know when you're going out to look for procurement software is one person's experience or view of a particular product may be vastly different to yours, depending on what they're using it for and what type of organization and level of procurement maturity they're actually working in. And I think when you go and find these top 10 or best of lists or the different top 50, top 100 procurement tech listings, some of them are pretty transparent in how they put their data together. A lot of them are not. So I think that should be the first red flag. And I don't want to tarnish all of them with the same brush because, like I say, some of them are very transparent and pretty legit. But the first question I think you have to ask yourself is, are any of them sponsored content? And you know, the answer is certainly yes, some of them are. But even if they're not, what criteria has gone in to evaluate those solutions? And are those same criteria the criteria that you hold dear to what you want to get out of your procurement tech? And I use as an example, and I actually posted on LinkedIn a while back about this. I use it as an example, the best cities to live in or the quality of life index. Can't remember exactly what it's called. It's a survey by the Economist Intelligence Unit, the EIU, which is a sister company of The Economist magazine. And every year they publish the what they see as the 10 most livable cities in the world. And pretty predictably, they usually, you know, Canadian and Western European cities that tend to top these lists. And, you know, I personally wouldn't want to live in any of them, but I realize and I acknowledge that what I want to get from a country or a city that I live in is probably vastly different to the typical person with a full-time job and kids and a mortgage that wants to have a different experience of the city that they live in. And I use that as just a simple example of, you know, it's kind of the same with procurement technology, that if you read an article with the CPO of a Fortune 500 company in procurement or a supply chain magazine, and they're talking about their experience of digital transformation with a specific product, that's great. You know, they have no doubt a center of excellence team and a huge mature procurement organization to draw upon. So their needs and their requirements and their experience of using that product is going to be completely different than if you're a CPO that's gone into a greenfield role at, say, a $300 or $400 million business that's not got any tech in place apart from an ERP system. Your needs are going to be so different to that CPO's example that it's almost like comparing night and day. And no matter which best of list that you look at, pretty much all of them are focused on large enterprise customers when they put these together. So even the most well-researched, most transparent list that you can go out and find, and let me take Spend Matters as an example, they do a really good job, you know, truth be told. Their research and their touch points are all aimed at who pays the money, which is ultimately large consultancies and enterprise users. So whenever you look at any of these best of lists, think, are they talking to me? And is what they're putting together relevant? And I've got a few sort of things that you might want to ask yourself or that you might want to consider when looking at any list or gathering of procurement software solutions that claims to be a best of or best in class list. So if you're looking at reviews of any procurement tech, bear in mind that other than the big legacy enterprise suites that have been around for 10 plus years, a lot of the best of breed startups probably don't have enough users to be able to have statistically significant review statistics. If you're looking at any reviews on some of these sites like G2 and Capterra and a lot of these software aggregator search websites that typically publish reviews, most solutions don't have that many users. So are the reviews that you're seeing statistically significant, first of all? But beyond that, who's actually giving that review? You know, a review that's given by a procurement category manager who's using that software almost daily is going to carry a lot more weight than somebody who occasionally logs in to observe an e-sourcing event or receive a shipment or approve an invoice or a contract. But how do you quantify this? You know, without a team of researchers to validate the user and the position in the company that's giving a review or feedback on software, how do you know which review is more relevant than the other? The reality is that you don't. The person that's reviewing any software, and again, if this is being done by an analyst firm, obviously they are reviewing software on a daily or weekly basis. So they're going to be, you know, much more competent at doing this. But if it's a casual user-based review, you know, is their experience up to date? You know, when did they last use the software? If the website or the top 10 list isn't saying, you know, what reviews it's based on, then how are you going to know that? Different size of businesses, I touched on this before, but different size of businesses clearly have different needs. So go to any best of list with a fairly critical mindset to say, okay, who are they speaking to? And if you're the CPO of a Fortune 500 company, then great, they probably are speaking to you and it's going to have a lot more relevance than if you're a CPO in a greenfield role at a mid-market business, or if you're a CPO at a rapidly scaling tech startup and you've only got two or three procurement hires and you're building a team as you're rapidly growing and scaling. And that sort of leads me on nicely to the next thing, which is organizations are at different stages of procurement maturity. So if one of these best-in-class procurement organizations who have got a bunch of tech are waxing lyrical about a solution, that may not necessarily mean that it's relevant for your business if you're still relatively immature or decentralized in your procurement function. Any change management and data quality is also going to impact your experience too. So if you're trying to implement a spend analytics tool and you've not really cleaned your data beforehand, unless it's one of the best in class tools that can leverage AI to do that, then probably going to get limited results from it. Likewise, if you're introducing a new P2P system, if your vendor master data is absolute garbage, then how are you going to succeed with getting what you want out of that system? The same applies to any sort of change management process or bringing your users along with the journey. You can implement a best-in-class procurement tech platform, but if your internal comms strategy and the team that you've got on that project to implement it are B and C players, then you're going to struggle and it's not going to be the software's fault. So in summary, if we look at are any reviews legitimate, well, some are going to be better than others, but it's going to be difficult to find out which ones are. And you just have to go into this with a very critical mindset and think, while these reviews may be helpful in terms of giving me a broad orientation of what's out there on the marketplace, you shouldn't be using them as cutoff criteria, or, you know, you shouldn't read too much into them. It's going to be a better use of your budget to hire someone that can do some due diligence or that knows their way around this space to sort of do a upstream RFI as a service type of activity to get you to the point of what are the 3, 4, 5 different solutions that you should be speaking to in detail and including in any any tendering exercise or any feature evaluation exercise, that's going to give you a lot more value than blindly trusting a top 50 or a top 100 list that you don't really understand what's gone into it in terms of how they've been put together. And as it happens, we actually do offer an upstream RFI as a service that if you've got a broad scope of work of what you want the software to do, and you want to work with someone to do a more white glove process of, okay, help me understand from every single solution that's out there in the market to the 3, 4, 5, 6 that are relevant to my organization and that have the features and the ease of use and the speed of implementation that are so dear to you, especially if you're in that mid-market segment, that's where I feel that we can help you the most, then reach out to us. The link is in the show notes. Just book a quick 30-minute call with me. I'd love to jump on and learn a little bit more about what your particular challenge is, because I'm confident that we can definitely help you with a little bit more of a white glove service in terms of drilling down really quickly to which are the specific solutions that you really want to focus on and do more work with to take that end-to-end sourcing process and make it much, much shorter, because you know exactly which solutions you need to be speaking to go into the final phases of your sourcing exercise. So hope this was helpful. I hope it explained why we don't publish any reviews and why a lot of the best of lists need to be taken with a little bit of a pinch of salt, or at least point you towards what questions you need to be asking with of them if you are in fact speaking to any of their analysts. And yeah, I wish you a great rest of your day wherever you're listening to this, and we will catch you same time again next week. Take care and bye for now.